I invite you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Appreciate that offertory. Love that song. Love lifted me. If it wasn't for the love of Christ, we'd be in bad shape. Colossians chapter 1 this evening, we're going to look at verses 12 through 14 and verses 22-23 as we continue our study through the book of Colossians. We're learning about how we are complete in Christ and how that completeness ought to change the way that we live. This evening, we're going to learn about redemption and reconciliation. Redemption and reconciliation. If you're able this evening, would you stand with me to honor the Word of God as we read it tonight? Colossians chapter 1, find verse 12. And it is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Thankful for you being here and pray that God will touch our hearts tonight. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And we're going to go down to verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the redemption and reconciliation we can have through Christ. I pray that everyone here tonight has been redeemed. Realize tonight what you've done in reconciling us to you. Thank you for Jesus, for the sacrifice on Calvary, for the precious blood of the Lamb. Lord, help us to be thankful and to live grateful lives, Lord, day by day. Please forgive us and help now. I pray you would convict our hearts. Lord, I pray that tonight you would work in our lives, that we would just be stirred up in our spirits, that we would be renewed in our passion for you. Please help, Father, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we see in verses 12 through 14, we are redeemed by the blood. And then we'll see in verses 20 through 23 that we are reconciled to the Son, reconciled through the Son to God. And we'll catch those verses in between here in a couple of weeks. There's some great, great truths about the Lord and his how he is our creator. But these two parts kind of go together here. And when you look at the verses in between, it talks about how Jesus created all things and how he ought to have the preeminence. And that's sandwiched in between these two teachings here, that he is our Redeemer and that we're reconciled by him. So look with me, if you would, first at the fact that we're redeemed by the blood and we have an inheritance because we are redeemed. Now, to be redeemed means to be purchased. It means to be bought back. And what this indicates, that our souls were sold. Our souls were sold in bondage under sin, and that we belong to sin and death and hell and the grave, and that our souls had to be purchased. Well, the price of our soul is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it took to redeem us. That's what it took to buy us back. That's what it took to purchase us. And we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In verse 12, he made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, some of you have been saved so long, you've forgotten how sweet it is. But friend, when you got saved, you were given inheritance in heaven forever. Amen. We have an inheritance in heaven with the saints in light. The Word of God gives us this distinction between darkness and light, this distinction between sin and righteousness, this distinction between hell and heaven. But we have an inheritance that is with the saints in light, those that are set apart by God. I want you to notice what he said. He made us meet to be partakers. This phrase that says made meet to be partakers, it has the idea that God has made us qualified for something. In other words, friends, we weren't qualified for eternal life. We weren't qualified. We didn't measure up. We weren't what we needed to be partakers of this inheritance. In other words, we deserve something else. God's standard is so high. God's standard is absolute perfection. And we don't measure up. I told you the other day, I was witness to a fellow. He was a Jehovah's Witness, and we were talking about that. I tried to talk to him about, reason with him about salvation. I tried to reason with him about the fact that Jesus Christ is God and about the Trinity and all those things. But one of the things he kept talking about is, well, you gotta do these things. You gotta live that way. And it's not exclusive to that group. It seems like every religion in the world believes it's about what you have to do. But friend, no matter what you do, it'll never measure up to the perfection that he requires. We can't live that righteousness. And I told him the other day, I said, John, listen, even if you and I from this very moment, from right now today until the day we die, could live absolutely perfect without sin, never have a bad thought, never have a bad attitude, never anything at all, which is impossible. But even if we could, we still got yesterday we got to contend with. And we do not measure up. But friend, when you come to God through faith in Christ and you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, he makes you meet to be a partaker. He makes you qualified. Then, through Christ, we measure up. I want you to hold your place there in Colossians, if you would, and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, 5, verse 3. The times the Lord's given me the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody and they pray to be saved, these are some of my favorite verses to take them to after somebody prays to be saved. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again." We're born again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So what's he say? Well, when you put your faith in Jesus, well, what about Jesus? That he died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he rose again the third day. And when you put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you get an inheritance. And this inheritance, this promise that's going to come to you is what? Incorruptible, undefiled, and it never will fade away. And you've got a reservation there today. Y'all settle down. All right. Well, look on down at verse 18 there. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers." He said, listen, you guys always want to trust in the traditions. You want to trust in your fathers. You want to trust in religion. You want to trust in what you do and what you give and how good you are. But you're not going to be redeemed with these corruptible things. You're not going to be redeemed with the ideas of men. You're not going to be redeemed by some religion. But, verse 19 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Friend, listen to me. We go back to our text. Giving thanks unto the Father. Huh. Of course we ought to give thanks. Why? Because he's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And some of you have been saved so long you forget what you really deserve. We don't deserve eternal life. We don't deserve a home in heaven. We don't deserve this inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that'll never fade away. We don't deserve any of that. We deserve the righteous judgment and wrath of a holy God. So tonight, if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, give thanks. He gives us an inheritance. And then go back to our text in Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us. Not only does he give us inheritance, he gives us a deliverance. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I like to look at words in the Bible and try to study those out, see what other passages use those words. In the New Testament, there's only one other place that uses the word translated, and it's when it talks about Enoch. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that Enoch was translated, that he was not, because God took him. What happened to Enoch? Well, he was walking with God, and all of a sudden he wasn't on earth anymore. He was in heaven, just like that. Isn't that awesome? And I want to have that kind of testimony. Enoch was a friend of God. Enoch pleased God. Enoch walked with God. And the Bible doesn't say a lot about him. It just says he walked with God. What a testimony. Oh, listen to this. What happened? One moment he was here, the next moment he was in heaven. Translated. I want you to get this, friend. Spiritually, not physically. He got translated physically. Spiritually, he got the whole shebang all at once. But you and I, the moment you repented of your sins and trusted Christ, you were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and you were translated. What does that mean? Well, look at what he says. He delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us to the kingdom of his dear Son. The moment you trusted Christ, you were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and you were delivered from darkness, delivered from the power of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. In a moment, we became part of his kingdom, and we left the power of darkness. I want you to get this too. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Y'all forgive my cough. Pray Brother Powell think I'm trying to mock him. I'm really not. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What is it? The Bible says that at one time you were under the power of darkness. At one time that the powers of darkness, the power of sin, it had control over your life. But when you're redeemed by the blood, it no longer has power over you. You're delivered from that power. Here's a problem, though, friends, because too many Christians today don't live like they're free from the power of darkness. We live like the power of darkness still has control over us. There ought to be a difference in our life. Amen. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. You don't have to live in sin. Amen. He said you at one time in Ephesians 2:2, he said that's who you used to be. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He said, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God has given his mercy to us. He's delivered from that. You know, everybody likes to do these polls, Gallup polls and Barna polls and Pew Forum and all that different stuff. Did you know that when they look at Christians in America, that there is no distinguishable difference between the lifestyle of a person who professes to be born again and those who don't? There's no difference, statistically. People who claim to be born again dress like the world, talk like the world, watch the same movies as the world, eat and drink the same stuff the world eats and drinks, goes to the same places, does the same things. They look like the world, they sound like the world, they talk like the world. That's Christians in America today, and friends, it ought not to be so. There ought to be a difference in our life. We are free. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. And we ought to live like we're children of the kingdom of God. Not only does he give us this inheritance and deliverance, but if you look back at our text in verse 14, he gives us forgiveness, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You remember Jesus healed the lame man, and he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And the Pharisees rightly said, "Who can forgive sin but God?" You know there's no place for us to find forgiveness. I talked to you a while ago. The religions of the world talk about what you have to do. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to atone for their sin. They're trying to make up for what they've done wrong. And it gives them this feeling, they feel a little better. If I did wrong yesterday, but I do something good today, I feel a little better. It appeases my conscience a little bit. But friend, when you stand before God, it's not going to work like so many people think. He's not going to weigh out your good deeds versus your bad deeds. Amen. By the way, you'd have to be a fool to want it to be like that. Amen. You'd have to be a fool to believe you've done more good than you've done bad. The fact of the matter is, the Bible says that our righteousness, our own righteousness outside of Christ, is as filthy rags. Amen. What we do, whatever good you can do in this world, if you don't do it in the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus through the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not good. Amen. It's an insult to God. The very, very best that we can muster up. See, we are poor and miserable and blind and naked. And we are desperately in need of the forgiveness of God. And when you're redeemed by the blood, you know what you get? You get the forgiveness of God. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." What is it? Well, it's you and I. We've been blessed by God, and when we repent of our sin and put our faith in Christ, he blesses us with redemption. He buys us back. He gives us forgiveness of sin, and he did it for his honor and his glory. He blesses us. To be redeemed literally means to be ransomed in full. What did Jesus say on the cross? "It is finished." Paid in full. I just want to encourage you tonight just to remember every day when you wake up and every day throughout your day, if you know Jesus, you've been redeemed. Amen. Sin doesn't have a hold of you anymore. The grave has no claim on you anymore. Sin has no power over your life. And you have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are not your own, but you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Not only are we redeemed by the blood, but if you go back to Colossians 1 and find verse 20, we'll see tonight that we are reconciled to God by the Son. We have redemption, we have reconciliation. In verse 20 he says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." To reconcile means to make right. You see, the fact is, without Christ, we are enemies of God. We are at enmity at him. We stand against him. We're opposed to the Lord. And it's not just that we're disobedient children. No, we're not his children until we are saved. We're not his children at all until we're saved. And that's another thing you hear a lot. "Well, we're all God's children." No, you're not God's children. Not until you're adopted into his family through faith in Christ alone. We're all God's creation. But outside of Christ, every human being on the planet is an enemy of God. That's a terrifying place to be. I don't know if you ever came to that realization before you were saved, that you were an enemy of God. Maybe you didn't feel like you were an enemy of God, but according to the Word of God, that's exactly what we were. Enemies of God. And so what does He do? He gives us peace, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. Now I want to tell you what I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ has paid the price for the reconciliation of every man, woman, boy, and girl, time past, time future. Amen. All who ever lived or will live, Jesus Christ has paid the price for their sin. Right. His blood reconciles us unto Himself. But we have to come to Him by repentance and faith for that reconciliation to take effect. He's done it. He by His blood has reconciled all things. The availability to have peace with God is available to anybody who will come to Him through faith in Christ. Amen. It's right there. And people can stay enemies with God, the all-powerful Creator of all things, or they can have peace with God through the Lamb. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, He says, you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. And I don't know if you're able to admit it before God tonight, but I understand. Before I was saved, I was an enemy of God. I was alienated by God from God. I was separate from Him. And it was by my own wicked works. And we know we're all born with a sin nature. And sometimes I got tickled the other day. The kids were having a Bible study at home, and I called to check in, see how things were going. Melissa said that the kids were mad at Adam and Eve. You ever felt mad at Adam and Eve? Well, what a mess they made. What were they thinking? We understand that by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And we can get mad at Adam all we want to. But the rest of that verse says that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. I can get mad at Adam all I want to. Really, I like to blame Eve. She got it and gave it to him, right? He took it. You're not helping. We can get mad at them all we want to, but at the end of the day, friend, we're guilty. He says right here, we were alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works. Yeah, we're sinners by birth. I sin because that's my nature. That it's in my nature to commit sin, but I commit sin. I'm guilty. I can't blame my mama and daddy. I can't blame Adam and Eve. I can't blame anybody else. At the end of the day, it's me. I'm the one who has sinned against the Lord. I'm the one that in my mind, I've made myself an enemy of God by my wicked works. And so, through redemption and reconciliation, He makes us right with Him again. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 12, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. You'll notice there's a lot of similarities here between the book of Ephesians and Colossians. But Ephesians 2 and verse 12, he says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now. Do you get it? We were aliens, enemies of God, and we had no hope. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. What is it that puts us at odds against God? Well, it's the law of God. It's his law that shows us that we're sinners. Paul said, I wouldn't have known that I was covetous. I wouldn't have known about my sin if it wasn't for the law. And the law puts us directly at odds with God. We have violated his law. But Jesus came and he paid the price of the law. Before there was the covenant with Israel and us filthy Gentiles didn't have any hope. But Jesus, he comes and pays the price not just for the Jews, not just for Israel, but for all mankind. And so now there's no division. It's not Jew and Gentile. He's made us one in himself by one sacrifice for all people. We have peace with God. I told you before about a young man that wanted to witness to everyone in his high school, and he made up a little survey and he went around and asked every kid in his high school what three things they wanted most in life. And by and large, I think almost everybody that answered him said these three things in one way or another. They wanted love, they wanted happiness, and they wanted peace in their house, in their home, in their life, and in the world. They wanted those three things. And so what he did was took him to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And talked to him about how if they came to know Christ, his Spirit would be in them, and they could have those things in their lives. But don't you think it's something that most people in the world want, is to have peace? I mean, when there's turmoil in the house, when mom and dad are fighting, the kids just want to have peace. When mom and dad are fighting, mom and dad want to have peace. There's a lot of people that are real gung-ho about going to war. I see so many people, anytime anything happens in the world, they're ready to, let's just go to war. You know who doesn't want to go to war? People who have been in war. They don't want to go to war. War is a terrible thing. People who have been in war want to have peace. Now, there's a lot of things worth fighting for. There's a lot of things worth going to war for. But ultimately, deep down in our souls, mankind wants to have peace. When you realize that you were an enemy with God, friend, you're gonna want deep down in your soul to have peace with God. I hope we never forget that through the reconciliation of the blood of the cross, we have peace with God. We see the peace in verses 20, there in verse 20, but notice also the presentation. Back in Colossians 1, in verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Through the reconciliation of God, we're going to be presented before God one day. I want to be there. I'm going to be there. Not because of any good I've done, but because of the blood of the cross. I've been reconciled to him, and Jesus Christ is going to present us before God the Father one day. He said, I've prayed for you. You remember when he prayed to the Father? He said, all the ones that you've given me, Lord, Father, I haven't lost any of them. And you know what? He won't. The ones who come to God through faith in Christ will never be taken out of his hand. But I want you to notice his desire for you. Because he's reconciled you, he wants to present you a certain way. He wants to present you holy. The Word of God challenges us. No. The Word of God asks of us? No. The Word of God commands us to be holy, even as I am holy, saith the Lord. You know what holiness is? It's the absence of sin. And God wants to be changing our lives day by day by day. Putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Growing in personal holiness. He wants to present you holy. He wants to present you unblameable, without blame. This idea of having blame, it means to have handles. It means that you don't live in such a way that somebody can grab a hold of you and make an accusation against you to pull you down and to tear down your testimony. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. Friends, none of us are without sin. None of us are perfect. But God wants us to grow in holiness. And God wants us to live in a way that we're unblameable, that nobody can come at us with accusations that are going to stick. The world's going to hate you. People are going to say things about you. But when they make accusation about sin in your life, it ought to be false accusation. He wants to present us unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. He wants to bring us to that place where we don't need to be corrected. I want my kids to learn to do right. My prayer is that my kids will learn to be right. Right now, when they mess up, I'm there to reprove them and rebuke them and to bust their little tail ends when they need it. Amen? Come on, people. All the grandparents are like, all those precious little grandbabies. Yeah. Yeah, whoop them. My goal for my children, though, is that they'll learn to do right on their own. My hope for my children is as they grow up, when they do mess up, they'll make it right on their own. They don't have to be there with the belt all the time. Yeah, they're going to mess up. Yeah, they're going to sin. Yeah, they're going to do wrong. But my hope, my heart's desire is when they mess up, they go, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. And they seek forgiveness and they get it right. That's what it means to be unreprovable. It means that you've come to a place where, yeah, you mess up, but when you do, you get it right. Somebody once said, keep short accounts with God. That means is, when you mess up, fess up and get it right with the Lord in a hurry. Don't have unconfessed and unrepented sin in your life. He wants to present us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. And notice verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. What is it? What is it that's going to keep us this way? What is it that's going to get us to this place where we can stand before God, presented by our Savior Jesus Christ in this manner? Well, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you might be messed up because he says, if you continue in the faith. Well, does that mean if you don't continue in the faith that you're not going to be saved? You got to live this way so you can be saved? No. What it means, friends, is that if you really are saved, if you really have the hope of the gospel in your life, you will continue in the faith. When you really have the hope of the gospel in your life, yeah, you might sin, but you're not going to move away from it. If you really have the hope of the gospel in your life, then you need to get grounded and settled in the faith so that you continue putting off the old man and putting on the new man and growing in Christ. We've been redeemed. If we've been saved, if we've been born again, receive the gift of eternal life, however you want to say it. If that's the case in your life, you've been redeemed by the blood. You've been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. You've been made right with Him. You've been brought back to Him. We were sold to sin, but He bought us back. When you consider the fact of what you've been redeemed from and the price that was paid to redeem your soul, it ought to move us that we want to continue in that faith. This evening we're going to get ready for an invitation. Would you stand with me, please? While our musicians are coming, I just want to ask if you'd bow your head for just a minute tonight. I want to ask you to look into your heart tonight. The Bible says to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Have you been redeemed by the blood? Personally, through repentance of sin and faith in Christ, have you been redeemed? Reconciled to God? Do you have peace with God tonight through Jesus Christ? If you don't, that redemption and reconciliation is available to you. All you have to do is repent, turn from your sin, believe, trust in Christ alone. He'll give you life everlasting. But as I look around the room tonight, I think every person in here has made that profession of faith. You say you've been redeemed. I would challenge you tonight as we have this verse of invitation that you'd ask the Lord to help you to live like you've been redeemed, to continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and live out the hope of the gospel that He's given you. Our Heavenly Father, please move in this invitation. Help us to realize what You've done for us in Christ. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Help me to live as though I've been redeemed and reconciled unto You. I pray that You move in hearts tonight and that Your will would be done in every life. In Jesus' name. What number are we going to sing, brother? Number 544. Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. Anything you need to get right? Maybe you just want to ask the Lord to help you to live for Him in a better way. Whatever it is, would you come?